Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, beginning at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of our God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of no separation. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's been in the service today. Lord, that's so precious. I never cease to be awed, Lord, when you visit us. For, Lord, we're so unworthy of your divine visitation, but yet in your grace and in your mercy, you come anyway. How we thank you. How we thank you for Jesus and his precious shed blood. Lord, today I pray that you will help me to expound your word in such a way that it will be a blessing to your people and help them understand, help us all to understand a little bit more of the glorious position that is ours as we walk through this life hand in hand with Christ Jesus. Lord, that there's never a separation from you and your children. You love us that much. Father, I sense a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit right now. And he is welcome here. Keep us sensitive. Keep me sensitive, Lord, to what you want to do. For, Lord, I want your people blessed. I want your people strengthened. I want them uplifted. I want them their minds renewed with the glorious knowledge of who they are in Christ. And, Lord, you do that in whatever method and whatever way you choose. Just keep me sensitive to it. And, Lord, we turn this service over to you now to do with as you will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Just this week, it brought gladness to my heart as I watched via the internet President Benjamin Netanyahu's speech from not far from where the Temple Mount is in Israel. I had related last week that President Obama had sent some of the highest level emissaries in secret to Israel in an attempt to get Prime Minister Netanyahu to give up land, give up some of Israel's land, and further to call him before Israel would plan any attack on Iran for its nuclear program. And as they gathered to celebrate near the Temple Mount, the land they'd regained in 1967 during the Six-Day War, which was nothing short of miraculous. But I thought President Netanyahu, or I keep wanting to call him President, Prime Minister Netanyahu, was smart enough to see through what President Obama was requesting, and I believe he is now. As he stood on the Temple Mount that day, his speech was short, but it was very deliberate. President Obama had further requested that as Netanyahu gave this speech, that he would fly the flag of the United Nations over the Temple Mount. And to his credit, Prime Minister Netanyahu refused to do so, and instead flew the flag with the Star of David on it, symbolizing that Israel was under the rule of Jehovah God. In his speech, President Netanyahu related to those gathered. He said, "Our forefathers and our young men and women have fought too hard. We will never again allow Israel to be divided." Now that's powerful speech if you put it in its proper context and you understand the impetus behind such words. Because most nations of this world are calling for Israel to allow herself to be split in two and be divided once again, with much of the land that God has given to that nation going back to the Arab world. And it thrilled my heart to hear Prime Minister Netanyahu say, "We will never allow Israel to be divided again." Now that blessed my soul to hear that, because it's not going to happen. The Bible supports that. God will not allow Israel to be divided again. It's going to appear that it's about to happen. For the Bible tells us that half of Jerusalem is going to fall when the armies of the Antichrist march and attempt to destroy Israel. But the Bible says at that point in time, from the red rock, rose-colored caves of Petra, millions of Jews hiding in those caves are going to begin to call for their Messiah to come and rescue them. And then in the crystal blue skies over Israel, they're going to split in two, and Jesus Christ himself is going to appear with the armies of heaven behind him. And he will then execute his judgment upon the armies of the Antichrist and establish his kingdom. Hallelujah. And we will be riding behind him in the clouds of glory as we swoop into the valley of Megiddo over the Judean countryside. Praise God. And he will crush that rebellion and he will stop it. President Netanyahu, I hope he realized the importance of the words he was speaking. Because not only is he not going to allow Israel to be divided, Jesus Christ is not going to allow Israel to ever be divided again. That's why the futile efforts of politicians to gain a name for themselves are doomed to failure. Because God has given that land to Israel. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this earth. And Jesus Christ and Jehovah God have chosen Jerusalem as their capital to rule and reign from. And nothing is going to stop that. Israel will never be divided or separated again. And we praise God for that because we're going to be a part of that kingdom. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We have a glorious future to look forward to, church. But just as there will never again be any division or separation of Israel as a nation, the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to me this morning and told me to deliver this unto all of us. Is that as long as we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what road the Lord calls us to walk down, no matter what situation in these last days we are called to live through, we will never be separated from Jesus Christ. That should bring a great deal of peace and comfort to the child of God. That's what the book of Romans is telling us when it begins in chapter 8, verse 33. Look at the words. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Satan would first of all accuse you and have you to feel, because of maybe a failure on your part, that you have fallen out of relationship with God, that you have been separated from his love, that you have fallen from grace. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you this morning, for years we've taught it backwards. We do not fall out of grace when we err before God. As long as we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment we err, we fall into grace. Hallelujah. We don't fall out. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I felt a lightning bolt go through my soul right then. We don't fall out of grace at that point in time. We fall into it if we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Who shall lay anything or charge anything to God's elect? And if your faith is in Jesus Christ, guess what? God has elected you to have an inseparable relationship with Him through Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross. And nothing is going to sever that relationship as long as you keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Your failure won't sever it. Your sin won't sever it. He'll keep working with you. He'll keep pulling you back up. He'll keep saying, get up one more time. I'm not quitting on you. I'm not letting go on you. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge God's elect with anything? Satan would accuse you and have you to feel like you're nothing. Like you're nothing but a big failure before God. And he's a master at pointing out the failures and the shortcomings that we all have. But the question is asked, who shall lay anything to God's elect? Praise the Lord. Look at that next verse, the next line in the sentence. It is God that justifieth. That means, let me illustrate to you this way. Imagine yourself, you walk into the Clark County Courthouse. Excuse me. The judge is there. Paula has made sure all the paperwork's correct on the charges against you. She works down there processing it. She's made sure it's all in order. The charges are correct. The evidence is there. And you're guilty. And that prosecuting attorney takes the stand and unleashes a barrage, a factual evidence against you. But you've got an advantage. The judge's son is your defense attorney. Praise God. The judge's son is your defense attorney. Hallelujah. And he stands up and he says, Father, praise the Lord. I can't find anything in my book about these charges. And the judge looks over at the prosecutor and says, I don't have a clue of what you're talking about. We have no record of any of these charges. But look, they're right. They're documented. The date, the time, everything is in order. What do you mean there are no charges? They are all mine because they are in my son. And I judge him totally innocent. Therefore, I judge all them totally innocent. Woo! Glory! Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord. Who shall lay anything to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So the next time the accuser comes to tell you what a failure you are, you must know your position in Christ Jesus, from which you can never be separated or pulled out of. You stand holy. You stand righteous. You stand clean. You stand justified, not by our works, but by the power of Almighty God. You stand not guilty. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And that means declares not guilty. The prosecutor can rail all day long if the judge is just banging his gavel and saying, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty to every charge that's thrown up. Oh, it's enough to make one of these pews shout, ain't it, Mahari? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And he can accuse all day long, but if you understand that there's no separation ever between God's love and grace towards you and I in the high courtroom of heaven, that is as hard as a prosecuting attorney who would be Satan tries to announce your guilt and announce your failure. God, Jehovah, God the Father is banging down the gavel to every charge as hard and as fast as he can throw them and saying, not guilty? I don't know what you're talking about. Not guilty? All charges dropped. Not guilty? No record of any offense. My Lord, somebody praise him this morning. Hallelujah. And what we've just preached is what most of the church world does not understand. You see, we are in this inseparable position of grace and love and mercy in a continual flow from God. on the basis of our faith alone. When the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, this is exactly what's being referred to. And what do you mean we walk? That means our relationship to God. Our relationship to God is what the word walk there means. We progress in our relationship to God, not by sight. In other words, not by what we see. You want to get yourself discouraged? I mean, real fast. Maybe I ain't as bad as I am. But if you want to get yourself discouraged real fast, just start taking inventory of all your shortcomings and all your failures. And man, you talk about discouragement, you'll be sitting in a corner just wishing the world would go away, playing with your lips, going blah, blah, blah. And if you're not careful, you'll become convinced when you're focused on that, you have no hope. You know, to the believer that's doing that, they're walking by sight. They're walking by what they see in the natural realm. And that will so discourage and so debilitate the believer and so rob him of the joy, that fish in the mouth eating joy. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You got here a little bit late. You're thinking, well, Pastor's really flipped on this one. I'll have to share it with you so you understand what I'm talking about when I say fish in the mouth joy. Michelle, she opened service today, was testifying about how her and Andy had such a great day walking through the park on Thursday. And Andy said, I just feel so much joy of the Lord, I could just run and shout and jump in that lake and get a fish in my mouth. Now, I don't know what that means, but if that's joy to Andy and that's how he relates joy, praise God. But you won't have that fish in the mouth joy if you're walking by sight. If your relationship to God is measured, if you're measuring it by your human performance, you're going to be one sad individual who's still saved, but has no real joy, that has no real idea of the position they possess in Christ Jesus, the inseparable, unchangeable position that that believer possesses in Christ. He'll have no joy in it if he's walking by sight, if he's walking by what he sees going on in his life. That's why in the preceding verse 33, the Lord, first of all, the Holy Spirit wants to convince us, you're not guilty. Now, let me tell you how powerful this inseparable position of love and grace and mercy is in Jesus Christ. This is how powerful it is. You can even walk around believing that you're guilty yourself, and he's still declaring you innocent. My Lord, my Lord. That's how powerful it is. You're walking around, oh, I'm this, I'm that. You're walking by sight. You're a believer. You love God. Your faith is in Christ and his cleansing blood. But you don't understand, Pastor, I'm this way. I've got a bad temper. I've got that. I've got this. And God is standing in the portals of glory declaring you not guilty. Not guilty. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's God that justifies, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what we're seeing go on in our lives. If you're walking by sight, as most of the church world does, that's their problem. I recently read a survey, now listen to this, taken of evangelical churches in the United States of America. Ned, you gave me this. 81% of believers polled in a Barna poll said they believe their correct standing with God is predicated upon their good works. Now think of that. 81% of believers in the United States of America. How can something like that be, we ask? Simple. The cross hasn't been preached. The cross hasn't been preached. And there were those believers who believe that way, they're saved. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying they'll never know any deep and abiding joy and peace in their walk with God the way God designed it to be. He designed this thing to be a life of joy, a life of victory. And if you walk by sight, and that's what those believers are doing, 81% of them are walking before God. In other words, they're involved in their relationship to God, judging themselves on how God likes them by how good or how bad they are. And there's never going to be any peace in a soul that lives like that. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith. By faith. This same great eighth chapter of Romans, God declares, the Holy Spirit declares in it, that God calls things that be not as though they are. What does that mean? That means that's the power of faith, proper faith. If that faith is laid exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross, God calls things that be not as though they are. Let me go back to my courtroom illustration. The judge of heaven, Jehovah God, then declares things innocent that are really guilty. Do you see what that scripture really means? God calls things that be not as though they were. He calls the guilty innocent. He calls the dirty clean. He calls the unrighteous righteous. He calls the unholy holy. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. That's why there's such a need for the cross to be preached again. Because I believe with all of my heart that soon and very soon I'm believing God. I'm believing God for it. Mahari and I talked about it coming home from Brother Lauren's meeting the other night in Ottawa. I said, Mahari, I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I get a little bit discouraged. I'm not trying to build a mega church or nothing, but I'd like to see us have some growth. And Mahari spoke the very words that the Lord had been dealing with me about. The Lord had been telling me, you just be faithful. It's me that takes that church where I want it to go. But if you'll just keep being faithful, inexplicably and unexpectedly, I'm going to let my spirit fall in a big way. And there's going to be a gusher from heaven that's going to sweep a number of people. He didn't tell me how many. He just said a number of people into the kingdom of God, having them brought in under a true gospel message. But he said, until I'm ready and in my time, your job, Greg Browning, is to just keep on preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. And I'm going to keep believing him for a mighty move that's going to sweep some of that 81% into a relationship with Jesus Christ like they've never known before. Where they realize it's not based upon my performance. It's my faith in him that makes me not guilty. It's my faith in Jesus that makes God declare me righteous and holy. That I couldn't earn it anyway. Oh, what a liberating truth that is. I shared with you a few weeks ago, I believe, about my brother-in-law Roger and his travels as a salesman for a machine shop. He called a girl on the phone who was attending. Well, I'm going to tell you whose church it was. It was Tony Scott's church up in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm not judging Brother Scott's soul, but his doctrine has become so wacky it defies description. But this girl had been attending his church looking for something that would help her overcome certain issues in her life. And she was working so hard in this body, doing everything they told her to do, and yet victory was not coming. Well, Roger called her on the phone. She was a secretary, and in the course of their conversation, he found out that she went to church and went from there. And all of a sudden on the phone, she broke down with Roger and began to cry. And she said, I've never heard nobody explain this gospel like you've just explained it to me. She said, I don't hear that in my church. And her name was Janelle. And so help me, the other night in Ottawa, Ohio, as there's probably about, 150 there, maybe, Mahari? Great meeting, though. Lauren preached a marvelous message. But church wasn't much bigger. The sanctuary wasn't much bigger, probably a little smaller than the one we're in right now. They had these folding chairs set out. And how can I say it? These weren't the type of folding chairs that are made for big and tall people. I mean, you talk about an act of faith. It was an act of faith. Now, Mahari was smart. Mahari slipped in, and he got in on the end pew there. And that left me and Mike to have to sit in the folding chairs. And as I sat down in it, believe me, it was an act of faith. because I could feel every fiber of that little plastic chair screaming as I... These were Walmart specials. These weren't your heavy-duty industrial strength chairs. And after a few moments of this, I realized I better get on a pew somewhere. So I turned to Mike and I said, "Mike," I said, "there's an open pew up there next to that blonde lady." I said, "A couple of seats." I said, "I'm moving up. You want to come with me?" Mike says, "Yeah, yeah, I'll come." Even Mike, I think, and you know, Mike ain't that big. But I think even Mike was a little bit worried about him. I don't know. But we moved up, and sure enough, Lauren graciously introduced me from the pulpit. And at the close of service, I was standing by the product table that he always has set up. And this girl came up to me who had been sitting next to her. She said, "Are you Greg Browning?" I said, "Well, yeah, I am." She said, "My name is Janelle. I'm the one your brother-in-law spoke to on the phone. And she's been going to Brother Willie Miller's church and hearing the cross. And she said, I've got to thank you so much that you taught him this message so he could teach it to me. Because she said, I've never found anything like I'm experiencing right now." And you could see the joy and the glow of the Holy Ghost all over this girl. And she said, I listen to Sun Life Radio all the time now. And she said, "I'm being so blessed." She said, "Sometimes I'll laugh, sometimes I'll cry. But," she said, "I've never known such joy." She said, I was working so hard at this church. And she said, "I wanted to talk to my pastor's wife one day, Brother Scott's wife." Now, this is her words, not mine. And she said, "As I approached her to talk to her," she said, "her bodyguards came and pushed me away and said she had no time to talk to me right now." And she said, "I can't believe that I can walk up here and talk to Lauren Larson." That she said, "I can't believe you're talking to me the way you are." And I told her, I said, "Sister," I said, "it feels wonderful to be in God's kingdom with true people of God, doesn't it? Where we're all leveled at the foot of the cross." And she said, "I will never leave this." She said, "I have found life like I've never known before." Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! She was a part of that 81% sitting out there that had no clue of how powerful, how glorious, and how liberating the true gospel is. And church, just keep believing with me. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know when the floodgates are going to open, but I'm going to keep believing him to my very last breath that the rapture happens, that God is going to give this church a revival where people are going to come into this church just like her and find there is life in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Give the Lord a hand of praise. She found out that she was in an inseparable relationship with God that is not based upon her performance, but based upon her faith. Praise God. The scripture goes on. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The Holy Spirit wants us to know that our faith is so powerful that our guilt, our sin, our shame, even us believing wrong, and he goes on and lists these other things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That doesn't sound glorious. That doesn't make nobody want to shout there when you're naming off things like that, does it? It's tough to get happy when somebody's talking about being in peril and tribulation and naked and getting beat up all the time. But I want to tell you this, and I felt an urgency from the Holy Spirit to reiterate it. True believers in America are headed for some dark days. In the natural, let me put this in proper context. In the natural realm, true believers are headed for some dark days, naturally. But spiritually, the light and the glory of Jesus Christ is going to increase double, I believe, to those who keep walking with him through the trials that are going to come. Because that is the knowledge of our inseparable relationship with God. That's going to hold us up through all of this. And I tell you, I've wondered, I've shared this with you, I've wondered ever since the inception of this little body. Lord, I've never seen people draw such lightning. It seems, Lord, like everybody who attends our church has a target on their back. And the enemy is just taking pot shot after pot shot at them. And as I was preparing this message, he reminded me of that. And he said, but haven't I held them up? Haven't I poured my strength and my power into them? And you know what? And as I look at this, it doesn't look at your lives. It blesses me as pastor. I've watched him. I've watched him grow you all up. Not me, him. Him, I'm saying. Please don't interject Greg Browning into this equation in any way. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Holy Ghost power that is flowing into your life 24/7. It never ceases. Just as we're never separated from the love of God, the Holy Ghost is flowing into you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even when we're asleep, He's working on us. Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost never sleeps. That's how powerful this relationship is. And in all these things, verse 37 tells us, nay. Notice it doesn't say God's going to deliver us from all of them. Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't want to live the past 2 years of my life over again for any amount of money. Sound like you've lived with me there, Mooney. Bonnie missed her chance to say amen there. But you know what? I've learned more about God's power and His ability to hold you up when you think your world's crumbling than I've ever known before. And I can stand here flat-footed and unequivocally tell you He'll do what He said He would do. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. When I was thinking I was defeated and I was worthless and I was no good, He's in the portals of glory cheering you on, cheering me on, saying, no, 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 quit thinking that way. You're in me. You're in me. You're powerful. You're more than a conqueror. You're victorious. You're cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Quit feeling sorry for who you are and your natural situation and begin to walk by faith in what I promised. Give Him glory today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's in all these things. We're more than conquerors. And that's predicated upon our faith. Let's go on. I got to hurry to a close. Look at verse 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. What a promise. That means even when we don't love ourselves, He still loves us. Hallelujah. What a love. And nothing can ever separate us from that as long as our faith is maintained in Christ. God will still love you even if your faith isn't in Christ. But you will not experience His joy and peace. You know, years ago, again, I'll quote A.W. Tozer. He said, Satan little bothers most that claim to be Christians. Because most that claim to be Christians little bother him. What does that mean? It means basically to the child of God who understands that his relationship to God is based upon his faith and not his performance. Satan hates that because that individual cannot be defeated. No matter what may occur in their life, they can never be defeated. And that's why he tries to hit us with everything. If your faith is in the right place. Because if he can, there's a contest going on. From Satan's perspective, he wants to see you fail. From God's perspective, he's saying, watch what my power can do in their life, Satan. And he will give him certain latitude at times in his demon spirits to attack the child of God. Because there would never be any other way we would ever know that what we've just read and shouted about is true. Unless we find out in the tribulation, in the dark hour, that he still loves me. Nothing has separated me from his love. And his word declares, which cannot lie, nay, in all of these things, I'm still more than a conqueror. I'm still not defeated. And if you look in the natural, sometimes it's going to look like defeat. It's going to look like defeat. This is something the Lord just taught me very, very recently. But in him, praise God, there's never any defeat. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. In all these things. In the midst of what we perceive as defeat as humans, we're still victorious. And the greatest illustration I can think of is the cross itself. To that day on the top of Golgotha's hill, it looked like God had been defeated. And Jesus bowed his head and said, it's finished. And then that curtain in the temple that had separated man from God was ripped in two, exposing the Holy of Holies. Where just seconds before the death of Christ on the cross, had any man walked into that Holy of Holies, he would have been smitten dead. And now it's exposed. It was God saying, through him we have complete fellowship. Through him you have complete access to me now. There is no more barrier. Hallelujah. There is no more separation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 37. I forget the exact verse. But it says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down. He's always there to pick you up. And I love how the word, the Holy Spirit had a word there, though he stumble. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I don't know about you, but some of the trials that Satan's thrown at me, sometimes that God's allowed him to throw at me, I've stumbled. I've stumbled in them. But I can tell you this, there's never been a time I haven't felt the loving arm, the loving nail-scarred hand reach around my shoulder and say, come on, get back up. I've not quit on you. You're still mine. And I loved you enough to go to the cross for you. And I love you enough to pick you up an innumerable amount of times. I will not allow you to be separated from me. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. Years ago, as I'm closing now, a young man by the name of Dallas Holm on the streets of New York was delivered from drugs and alcohol and a horrific life of sin. And he became a great musician, singer, and songwriter. Wrote some songs that are today are still just lovely when you hear them. But he wrote one that I'll never forget. I used to play it all the time. It was called The Eyes of God. It said once something like this, the eyes of God are upon me. He sees everything I do. The love of God, it surrounds me. It keeps me safe and secure. And he knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think. He knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I've stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet? Father, today in the name of Jesus, we come to you, and I pray that in just a a little bit, Lord. You've helped us to see the power of walking by faith and not by what we see. Lord, I pray that you've reminded us that there is never any separation between us and your love and your grace and your mercy. Even in our failures, even in our mistakes, even in our stumbling, you're still there to pick us up as long as we keep trusting in you. Thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering with us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness toward us. And Lord, as we head into these last days where our redemption's drawing nigh, soon it's going to be over, Lord. Soon and very soon, all this is going to fade into oblivion and we're going to dwell with you. But Lord, until that time comes, as you tarry, we're going to go through some trials. But Lord, may we not walk by sight. May we not walk by looking at our failures. May we not walk by looking at our shortcomings. May we walk by faith and know that in you there's never any defeat. In you, Lord Jesus, we're not guilty. In you we are declared innocent. In you we're declared holy. In you we're declared righteous. In you we're declared victorious, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. And there is never any cessation of that declaration. Hallelujah. In the portals of glory right now, you are declaring, as Satan accuses, you're declaring us innocent, praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. And Lord, I pray that you've taken these words and this knowledge that hopefully we've all, I pray you've helped me to clearly elucidate it today. That, Lord, when the trials come, that we'll know, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are with the Lord Jesus this morning. I don't know if you're lost, you're in sin, maybe backslidden. He's married to the backslider, the Bible says. He loves you. Your sin and your failure will never cause Him not to love you. But if you're out of a relationship with Him this morning, you've drifted from Him. He loves you and He wants you back. He never wanted you to go in the first place. You made that choice on your own. And He'll honor your choice. But this morning I feel a loving urgency of the Holy Spirit calling out to some. And He's saying, come home. Come home. What you left me for, it hasn't worked and you know it. It's left your soul degraded. It's left your spirit downtrodden. And there's no joy in your life. Come home. Come home. Come home. The Holy Spirit is calling some to come home to Jesus right here, right now. Don't turn from His blessed loving call. Come home. Come home. He'll come running out spiritually to meet you. Just like He did the prodigal son, just like the father did in that parable of the prodigal son. He'll come running out to meet you. He wants you back. He never wanted you to go. If that's you this morning, would you slip up a hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I promise you I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? Any at all? God bless you. I see that hand. Any others? Pastor, I want to come home. I want to come back to the Father today. Praise His holy name. Are there any others? I'm going to ask Ravana, Monique, would you all come forward here? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. And I promise we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you a lot of questions. But to that one who raised their hand and said, I want to come home, I want you to step out now and come. And these ladies are just going to pray with you. Would you go back there and meet that sister, you ladies? She's coming, and just pray with her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for this dear sister that's coming home, that's coming home. Thank you, Lord, that you love her. Let her feel your love and your joy as they lead her in prayer. I'm going to ask every believer now who would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One of the hardest things for us to do is to keep the focus of our faith right. That's why Paul called it the good fight of faith. That's really the only fight we have. Because if we keep our faith in the right place, we can't ever be defeated. We'll always be victorious, and Satan knows that. That's why he tries with all of his machinery to get us to move from that position. And this morning, I feel the Holy Spirit leading me in the altar call this way. Some of you, under the sound of my voice, you heard the message today and you thought, that's it, I've been walking by sight. Maybe my joy hasn't been what it once was. Maybe the peace I was feeling. And you've been blaming it on maybe problems or situations in your life. And they can certainly have bearing. I'm not saying that at all. But if you focus only on those things and only on your failures and your personal shortcomings that we all possess, you're going to lose out on your joy with the Lord. You can't be joyous and walk in your relationship to God by sight, by what you're seeing. You've got to order your relationship to the Lord by what this word declares about you. And this word declares, He calls things that be not as though they were, praise God. That's what brings the joy. That's what brings the peace, is knowing that He's that kind of God. And when your mind functions in that capacity, that you're thinking, yeah, I've got shortcomings, yeah, I've got failures, but through it all, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Oh, this is glorious truth today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, like the song says. Quit looking at your failures and your shortcomings and look at your glorious position in Him, from which there can never, never, never be any separation. Never. That's glorious. That's just mind-boggling. But you know what? It'll make you want to shout, don't it? That's joy. That's the source of your joy. Yeah, you may be going through a bad trial right now. Yeah, you may have even stumbled, and maybe for a time in the natural, it appears you're defeated. You're not. Why? What does the Word of God say? What are you going to believe? What you're seeing going on around you? Are you going to believe the Word of God? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His mighty hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing is going to separate you from His love and grace and mercy. Nothing. Nothing. So if you've been walking by what you see in your relationship to the Lord, and you felt no strong joy, well, that's why. That's why you're not feeling joy. But turn your eyes this morning as we're gathered around this altar. Get back in faith today. Get back into what God, the God who calls things that be not as though they are. Man, that's something. That's something. You say, but Pastor, you don't know how unrighteous, how unholy I am. I don't see anybody, as far as I know, around this altar this morning that's unrighteous or unholy. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done this week. You don't know how I failed God this week. All I know is what the Word of God says about you. And the Word of God says that if your faith is in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross, you are victorious, you are righteous, and you're holy. It's not predicated upon your performance. Hallelujah! My Lord, excuse me for shouting. I can't help it. I'm like Andy. I've got that fish in my mouth joy this morning. Praise God. And it's for everybody. Let's pray now. And lift your hands unto Him. And I feel the Holy Spirit wants this to be a victorious prayer, a prayer of victory, a prayer of faith today. Father, in the name of Jesus, first we repent of walking by sight. We repent of believing the enemy's lies. We repent of believing what our own minds conjure up about us. And Lord, we turn with joy today to what the Word of God declares about us. That we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We are righteous, we are holy, and there is no sin at all. And Lord, you are declaring this very moment in the portals of glory that we are, in fact, everything that you say we are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let renew joy today around this altar, Lord. Renew the joy. Renew the feeling of liberty that can only come through knowing nothing shall separate us from your love. Nothing shall separate us from your love. Our failures, our shortcomings, our trials, our tribulations, no person, nothing shall separate us from your love. And it will be so for all of eternity. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. I just feel a flood of joy around this altar this morning. You shout, you carry on if you want to. This is the time for it. This is the place. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a thought. Jesus full salvation brought. Victory. Yes, victory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, let us now walk out of here today knowing that our steps have been ordered by you. Everything going on in our life has been ordered by you. Satan has no power or control at all over us. Our steps are ordered by you. And Lord, even when we slip and stumble in the midst of our testings, you don't quit on us. Your right hand upholds us. Though we stumble, we're not going to be utterly cast down, because nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, man, it's been good to be in God's house with you today. Pray you've been blessed, uplifted, strengthened. Be safe out there. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. Many of you probably have tomorrow off, as I do. Going to go eat some brats and hot dogs and hamburgers and low-fat fare. Go enjoy yourself. Some ice cream, all those good things. I myself am headed to the ice cream festival this afternoon. No wonder you say, Pastor, now we know why you've been so full of joy this morning, preaching. No, but it will be a good time. But you have a great weekend. Rest your weekend. Be safe. God bless you so very much. Ned, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?